Jason Walker of PetrieHoops.com, also a big Cincinnati Reds fan, so it's appropriate that he join us on this day where the Braves and Reds play tonight at Turner Field. And you know, Jay, there's still plenty of payback due the Reds, considering how big of a whooping they put on the Braves in the 70s. So hopefully, at least for Braves fans, that'll continue today. How about them Reds, Jay? They're hot.
Love it.
They're red hot.
Love it.
Yeah,
yeah,
how about that?
They're doing great. I have to say I was wrong about them trading for Scott Rolen at the end of the year because he's been great this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joey Votto is, you know, he's an all-star. And yeah, the pitching's been good, you know, and it has. You don't need too much in the Central right now to be in the lead, but yeah, you got. I'm enjoying their run right now, but they. I just want to tell Braves fans, don't worry. The Reds have always been very accommodating to the Braves in recent decades.
Yes, yes, no, they have. So, but now Aaron Harang has always been a tough pitcher, and he's doing well. And you got the Cuban coming in a couple of weeks, maybe. Chapman.
Like I said, the starting pitching's been good. The bullpen, you know, everything else, and the hitting's been timely. And you know, they're even doing it without Drew Stubbs, who they were expecting a lot out of. He's been struggling this year, but you know, Votto, Jay Bruce is coming on strong. It's, you know, been a good run so far.
I'm anxious to see Mike Leake tomorrow. Have you seen him pitch? He's the rookie. Have you seen him?
Yeah, kind of a Greg Maddux light. You know, not overwhelming stuff on his fastball. Great, he's got five pretty solid pitches. So it'll be interesting to see once he goes through the league once or twice to see kind of adjustments teams make to him. But yeah, he's proven to be better than expected earlier than was expected.
All right, let's talk basketball now. The Atlanta Hawks looking for a head coach. First of all, the two names that have been leaked out there as possibilities: Dwayne Casey and Avery Johnson. Report that Johnson may have even had an interview night before last. What are your thoughts on these two potential coaches?
Well, I think, you know, both guys are great coaches. So, I mean, I think both guys are very, very solid coaches. And this isn't like a retread type of Bob Weiss, Bob Hill type hiring. This is these are guys that are, you know, very viable coaches. It's just a matter of what you're looking for. You know, Avery Johnson, I know it's got the big name and he's been on television. You know, he hasn't been sitting on a coaching bench like Dwayne Casey has, but you have to go back and look at what Avery did with the Mavericks. He was a very slow, plodding coach. He very much wanted to control every aspect of the game because he was a point guard. He was that kind of player. So he wants to do the same from the bench. The Mavericks were a very slow team when he had them. They were successful. Obviously, they went all the way to the finals, and some will tell you that you know, they got hosed by the officials when they played the Dwayne Wade-led Heat in that series. So they were very successful at what they were doing. But, again, if you don't have the personnel to execute in that kind of slowdown game, then, you know, maybe Avery Johnson's not the kind of coach you want. So, you know, that's you know, so Avery Johnson, obviously, is going to be very high-priced too. So it surprised me that the Hawks were looking at Avery Johnson, knowing that his price tag was going to be very high, and he's sought after by the Hornets, which is his hometown team, and places like that. So then you take a look at Dwayne Casey, who, by all accounts, it was kind of a mystery why he was let go. He was in his second season with the Timberwolves when Kevin McHale fired him, and the team were right there at around 500, maybe a game under. The team had gone through two massive roster restructuring. They still had Kevin Garnett, but not much else after that. You got Ricky Davis and Eddie Griffin, guys of that caliber. So they were doing very well. They were a good offensive team, very high on offensive efficiency, and they were also in the top third in defense. So Dwayne Casey, Dwayne was a guy that the Hawks were originally looking at when they hired Mike Woodson. So this is a guy that's had kind of the interest of this team previously and was a really good coach in Minnesota and really – was let go because Kevin McHale just kind of felt that they were inconsistent, which makes sense when you think about the kind of roster turnover that they had there in Minnesota at the time. You would expect it to have a little bit of inconsistency there. So those are the two guys that we've seen have had have so far had either permission to speak to or that they've already had interviews with. So right now, I think, you know, I'd be leaning toward kind of Dwayne Casey just based on the type of personnel the Hawks have today.
Well, Casey obviously worked with Rick Sun in Seattle. He has been a head coach before, so he wouldn't be a first-timer. So there are some things that kind of make sense on that. But again, I think the question that we're all going to ask is blank, whoever it's going to be hired, going to be better than Mike Woodson? And of course, even if it's Phil Jackson, you don't know. You can assume that someone with a little more experience and pedigree has a better chance of being more successful than the Woodson compared to a Dwayne Casey. But still, Casey is somewhat of a gamble, isn't he? Because we don't know that question, the answer to that question.
Right. I mean, you know, you take a look at that very small sample that he had in Minnesota and say, okay, well, he was successful. But, you could look at Mike Woodson's numbers and say, hey, this was a very efficient offense under Mike Woodson. And, the reason why you let Mike go was because he couldn't take a team to the next to another level by adjusting, where you might be able to say, hey, Avery Johnson did get the Mavericks to the finals. Excuse me. That's why
you okay?
a guy like Sam Mitchell maybe won't get consideration here, because it's more of the same type of coach as Mike Woodson was with Toronto. Good enough to get the team to a certain level, but you know, unable to kind of get the team up higher due to maybe some strategic gaps that he had, and able to do X's and O's, that type of thing. We don't know that. You're right. We don't know that about Dwayne Casey. He had a team that was in transition in Minnesota. Expectations were high, but that was due in large part to the fact that they did have Kevin Garnett there. So, you know, you don't know that. You are taking a little bit of a risk, whereas Avery Johnson did take a team that had stars in Dallas and got them to the finals.
Jason Walker is our guest from PeachtreeHoops.com. All right, we sent you a list the other day. We tried to compile a list. I think after we had you on the show Friday, we sat here for an hour thinking of names, and we even missed some, including Doug Collins, who I guess is the leading candidate, probably more of a leading candidate now that Philadelphia has the number too big in the draft for that job. Of that list we sent you, though, we it was just a kind of a quick list, and we did have a couple names we didn't have on there.
Yeah, you had like Red Auerbach on there, I think, too. You might want to cross them off.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Stan Auerbach, my favorite. But, you know, who stands out? I mean, who really, if you were to at least want to talk to somebody? I mean, I know you and I both know Eric Musselman a little bit. So, I mean, I guess you and I both would say Eric Musselman would be one we would talk to. And I'm sure Eric would be impressive in any type of interview situation. But I know you mentioned Thibodeau. You wonder, with Boston doing even more well right now than they were last week, if he'll get a job somewhere. But who else on that list kind of stands out?
Obviously Jeff Van Gundy with the record of success that he had in both New York and Houston. You really can't discount what he would bring in terms of defensive preparation. You know, he's along the same lines. You know, Tom Thibodeau hopes that he could become a Jeff Van Gundy. The defensive minded coach. Gets a lot out of his team from that way. Obviously, we've talked about Avery and Casey there. You know, then you take a look at, there's not a lot of guys out there that can potentially take your team to the next level. And Maurice Cheeks had some success in Portland. You know, obviously not so much in the time that he spent in Philadelphia. But those are the types of guys. You know, you have to take a look at. Musselman was great. This is why Musselman got the job in Sacramento, because he is very well prepared. He's great with strategy. You want to see him land and get another shot with another team. Is he the type of guy for the Hawks? You know, who knows? Doug Collins would be a rotten fit for the Hawks, because they've got temperamental guys like Josh Smith, and you don't know what you're going to have. It might be a team that's a transition. Jeff Teague's a young guy, and they're going to have to try to give the team to him. Doug Collins is a in-your-face, screamer, which is why it didn't work out for him in Washington with Kwame Brown and some of the younger players that they had on that team. So, maybe better suited for a more veteran team, which is not what the Hawks are looking to be next year. So, I think the Hawks have got a good vision on having Avery Johnson and Casey. And, like I said, I'd like to see them talk to Van Gundy, or maybe even, Lawrence Frank, who had a nice run in New Jersey, that kind of thing, as they look to fill this coaching position.
You know, how many more years will it be with this core group until they are a veteran group? I mean, not that you're using an excuse there, because there's no doubt they are still very young, but they have been in the league for a while. I mean, do you think in another year or two this is going to be more of a veteran team because of the years in the league?
Well, I think, you know, this year was less of a, you know, I think this past season was a season where you could really say, hey, you know, Jamal Crawford's been in the league 10 years. Joe Johnson's 28. Mike Bibby, obviously, with his experience. Those are the guys that got a lot of playing time. How can you really call them a young team? But let's say they don't sign Joe Johnson. Let's say that they do give, they're going to have to give Jeff Teague more time at point guard. Suddenly you're going to see this team start skewing younger, younger again, which is, you know, with, in building around the you know, Josh Smith would do, you know, come up 25, Al Horford about the same age. You know, it is still, you know, a team with younger personalities, and you really can't, you know, treat them like they're 30 years old. Like someone like Doug Collins, might. Doug Collins is very good at what he does. Very smart, knows basketball. Maybe not the best fit with that kind of you know, younger mindset. So you want a guy that can get a lot out of his team. That's why they're looking at you know Avery, and they're looking at Casey and coaches like that.
Jason Wark, our guest from PetrieHoops.com. When you look over the league, and it seems like, and I don't know if I'm right about this or not, but it seems like the turnover for NBA coaches is much quicker than the NFL or Major League Baseball. You fart the wrong way and they'll fire you in the NBA. But, you know, that making a difference, making an impact. I mean, of course, every time you try to hire a coach, you want to try to have someone that's going to make a difference, whether it's a first-timer or a veteran. But in this situation right here, it's such a peculiar situation for someone who's going to walk in and know that this team won 53 games last year and knowing what the expectation level is going to be. Not that it's irrelevant what happens in the regular season. It's all about what you do in the postseason. But right. Still, the pressure there, and you wonder if they'll take that into regard, Jay, of, okay, who can handle this pressure? Because right. I think there's going to be a pretty good amount there, don't you?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, you talk about a team that's made the playoffs twice. You're making a coaching move to try to get the team to another level. And if you sign Joe Johnson to a max extension, the pressure is going to be to get things done while Joe is still in his prime. And that'll only be another season or two. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of pressure to take that team up to the next level. And that's why you see Minnesota was in that position when they let Casey go. They really thought that they needed to cash in while Garnett was in his prime. They were a game under 500. They felt inconsistent, so they thought maybe Randy Whitman would be the one to get them to get them more consistent and more stable. Yeah, the expectations are very high in the NBA. We said this when Billy Donovan was thinking about taking the job in Orlando. Hey, at Florida, you win back-to-back national championships, you could be mediocre for a few years. In the NBA, that gets you fired. Yeah. You're coach of the year 1 year, you're fired the next, like your buddy Sam Mitchell.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, that's the nature of the game. That's why these guys are compensated so much. And let's not forget Avery Johnson was let go, too, a season after
sure.
They went to the finals. So, yeah, expectations are what they are. And coaches turn over. Sometimes maybe we put too much importance on coaches. You know, coaches' longevity. Some guys fit for a good period of time, and then you need to move on to somebody else. And that's the gambit these guys get. But, yeah, it's safe to say, whoever takes his Hawks job is going to be facing the expectation of, especially if Joe Johnson is back, of taking this team beyond the second round of the playoffs.
Are you convinced that this is Rick Sun's call no matter what?
I mean, if you're talking Avery Johnson, I guess, you know, money's not a factor, although that really surprises me. I thought sure they'd be looking at the assistant coach tier. I think that this is going to be Rick Sun's call. You know, I think that, these guys want to make it work, especially if they're willing to, again, if they're going to invest the money in Joe Johnson, they've got to be willing to invest the money in a head basketball coach too, because you really can't afford to go max on someone like Joe and then turn around and, hire you or me to coach.
Well, I mean, if they want to, we have agents too.
We'll alternate. We can alternate games.
I know
games. You can take home games.
I know Lonnie Cooper. I can get a job. Jason Walker is our guest from PetrieHoops.com. Hey, what was that idiotic official throwing that ball back at the fan there last night? That was crazy.
I like it. You know, he gives it right back to those fans. Some of those fans are pretty harsh on guys like Joe DeRosa,
yeah.
And make them think twice before they open their trap again. Huh?
Then he called the security. The guy was like, he threw the ball at me first. It's kind of fourth gradish, you know.
Well, what I like that though.
Yeah,
you punch a guy, and then you go to the teacher and tell on him.
Absolutely. Fourth grade stuff right there, like I said.
That's right.
All right, Boston just having their way with Orlando. Are you surprised by that? And how has the reaction been down there? Because you live in Orlando.
They're shocked. They're really surprised, especially the way that they took apart the first couple of rounds. But, hey, you know, in the NBA, sometimes it's about the matchups. And, you know, the Hawks, you know, the worst possible matchup in the NBA was the Orlando Magic. If the Hawks, you know, it's, you go back to that third or fourth seed, if the Hawks had been in that fourth seed, as well as they played Cleveland throughout the season, you have to start to think, especially after you get historically taken apart by the Magic, boy, what if we could have, what if it were us that got past the Cavs and now we were playing the Celtics, who we swept in the regular season?
Sure.
Because the Celtics, the Hawks were a terrible matchup for the Celtics.
Yeah.
Because of the athleticism. They couldn't defend us like Orlando could. So, you know, it sometimes it comes back to that. So, you know, I should temper my surprise. But really, after the way the Magic had executed, to see them struggle against Boston's defense is a bit of a surprise. But, you know, Perkins plays Howard very well. I love Al Horford, but Perkins, for whatever reason, is a tougher matchup, for Dwight right now. And, you know, and you got a team that's cresting at the right time and a player like Rondo, who's cresting also. So, I mean, you know, 2-0, you know, and this city is surprised, you know, very, very shocked. But they got to suck it up. You know, if you're pulling for Orlando, they have to suck it up and go into the Garden.
Is Boston and L.A. inevitable?
Oh, well, you hope not. You hope it's not inevitable. I mean, you know, Larry Bird isn't walking through that door. Neither is McHale. I don't know if I want to watch that series, but, you know, both teams are playing good basketball. I'd say it's still up for grabs. I'd say it's still up for grabs. The Magic have certainly shown throughout the season that they can play at a very high level, and I wouldn't expect that to change. And, you know, Phoenix has got to hit the boards better to take out the Lakers. The Lakers played probably just their ideal game in game one. So let's see what Phoenix can do. And that game hasn't even gone on the road yet. So that series hasn't gone on the road yet. So we'll see if Phoenix can regroup here. I think they will.
All right,
so it's still up for grabs, but it's certainly looking like Boston, L.A. Holy help us.
I don't think I like your tone there, Walker.
Hey.
All right, but final question. This is very important to follow in with the theme of the day. When you were in fourth grade, did you ever speak Pig Latin?
We did the Pig Latin. We did the rubber and glue. We did, we had cooties. You know, we did all those.
You had cooties in fourth grade? Things. What was that?
Yeah, well, but I was so old grandpa-ish already. I had a four-door bicycle.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's classic. That's classic. So what was your name in Pig Latin? A-J-Say? What would it be?
Ace and Jay. I had a very good Pig Latin name. It's very nice rhythm.
Ace and Jay Aukerway?
That's right.
How about that? That is pretty cool. All right.
I wouldn't lead you astray.
Don't worry. I'm not going to ask Tony Barnhart what was his name in Pig Latin when he's on the show later today. Only you, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Red Sox, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Bill.
All right. Jason Walker, you can read him online at Peachtree Hoops.